It's the biggest sports show for your Saturday morning.
We've got it all covered for you right here.
Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark, Emma Friedman, and everything sport.
A tomato or a barbecue sauce?
Look, I hate barbecue sauce.
Too sweet?
It's the most rank thing.
Is it?
This
I'm a spicy red meat.
It's Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Good morning,
Very good.
Mate.
Morning, Jay. Yeah, it is an exciting morning. All the talk has been about Winx. We just heard from the boys from Rocking Horses, all things Winx. We'll touch on it again a bit later throughout our show, but there is still plenty of sport happening around the world. Not that we really want to talk about our Australian cricket team. They're not really doing much for us, but there's plenty of American sport, plenty of A-League, and lots of other things happening around the world.
Well, about actually, on the cricket front, in half an hour's time, I want to talk to you about two young players, Will Pekowski and Lloyd Pope, because they are as exciting young players as I've seen emerge onto the Australian selection scene for some time. There's some big news with Will Pekowski. We'll get to that a little bit later. But I want to say good morning to you, Rosie, because I feel like I haven't seen you in about a month. You're fresh from Hawaii. How was your time over there in Honolulu?
Waikiki Beach was my main sort of stomping ground.
I feel
the
luck.
Best place.
Yep.
To go to for a holiday,
right.
Except the exchange rate. But anyway,
yeah,
I can't do much about that. Gee, it's good. I could go back and spend another 2 weeks and still not do everything that I want to do there.
So
shopping, food, history.
After you did the hot breakfast with Eddie and Das, what did you do with the rest of your afternoon?
Went to Pearl Harbor, went shopping some other days, got a tattoo another time.
Oh.
Went round to the North Shore. There's lots of things to do.
Nice.
Yeah.
And she's excited too because we've got Scotty Cam on the phone. The block, the big finale.
Oh, finally.
Finally. You've been writing the blog the whole way through.
St Kilda Block Watch.
Absolutely.
So auction time.
Auction time.
Who's going to win?
D-Day.
Mm.
We'll chat to Scotty Cam about all that. We've got to see if those that didn't choose the penthouses, whether they've made the right decision. We'll have to ask Scotty Cam.
Yes.
And Joey, on the holiday front, you've made a big decision. So all year you've been weighing up whether to take your little man Noah.
Oh, yeah.
He's four months old in a couple of days. Yeah, 4 months old now.
And you were thinking Fiji, but...
Yeah, we've ended up just going Byron Bay. Conservative, nice and simple. We'll fly into the Gold Coast.
Yep.
We'll spend a few nights there, hire a car, get the baby seat in and drive down to Byron Bay and spend a week in a villa there. Fiji, I just got a bit nervous overseas holiday first up with a four-month-old, so... Looking forward to that in a couple of weeks.
Hey, we have an absolutely massive show. We're going to be talking about Winx chasing a fourth consecutive Winx plate. First horse ever to do it. We got
the Winx plate. Is that what you're calling it now?
Yeah.
Actually, they probably should. I wonder. It's a very
Why
good point.
It?
I wonder in down the track whether they just call it the Winx plate.
Still got an X in it. It's perfect.
Yeah,
it's easy to change.
And could that be it, Joey? Will it be four Cox plates and out for Winx? Will she retire from...
That's interesting. That's a very good point. I'm not sure about that. I think she's still got a little bit of racing left in her. So maybe an autumn finale back in Sydney during the autumn carnival, and then we say goodbye.
And
interesting.
That'll be 30 wins, I think. 29 today. We've got the Melbourne Stars coach, Stephen Fleming. We'll be talking some big bash, Joey. Cricket season is here. We've got Abby Jelmy from Channel 7 doing a great job this spring racing carnival, talking more Winx. And fair to say, I've had a backyard blunder for the ages, Joey.
So
give me a spell material. I have stuffed up big time. So we'll talk about that in the second hour. So we do have a massive show. We'll be talking about Winx, of course. But next, we got Scotty Cam, the block finale coming up. Now, I sense your excitement over there, Rosie, because we do have the star of Channel 9's The Block with us. He is the main man, Scotty Cam. Good morning to you, Scotty.
Morning, guys. How you going? Oh, it's a nervous day today, auction day.
How exciting.
Absolutely. Tell me about it, Scotty. Before we get into the book, I'm selling. I've got a place in Malvern that my first investment property I bought back in 2005, and I have an auction today as well. Scotty, my first sale. Any tips you can give me? Any advice for someone on auction day? Like, what are the rules? I don't really know.
You've already got the haircut.
Yeah.
I don't know what the market's changed so dramatically, you know, and I don't know what the rules are. The rules are to just keep your head down and hope for the best. That's what it is.
And hope everyone there puts their hands up and just starts bidding. That's what I'm hoping for.
Correct.
Just pretend you're on the footy field, Joe. Just put your head down and go to work. Hey, Scotty, it's been a tremendous series. How do you feel about how it's all come up? Because I think when I first heard that you were transforming the Gatwick Hotel, it was in a state of disrepair, but she's come up an absolute treat, fair to say.
Oh, look, it is. It's terrific. It's... You know, the apartments are fantastic. The outside of the building looks great. And I think that, you know, people at St Kilda had a love-hate relationship with the Gatty. And But you know, they loved the building, but didn't like what it had become. And now it's back to its former glory, and it's got six beautiful apartments in there.
Has it surprised you and everybody else involved how well it has come up? Like, I know that we at the start, as we touched on, at the state that Gatwick is in, has it surprised you how well, or was it always your expectations it would look this good?
Mate, never surprised me with the block. We always do a magnificent job, and I always knew it was going to be a fantastic building when we'd finished with it. But it was in... It was pretty ordinary when we got here. It was horrible inside, mate, I've got to say. It wasn't that flash.
Yeah, it does have a lot of history for us people from St Kilda, and you're going to be back next year with the Oslo. But the Gatwick was amazing, a beautiful building, and I've been through all of the apartments from start to finish. And, Scotty, it's a hard one for me to make a decision about who's going to win.
Who
so you've got we've got Norman Jess. They've got the Domain Challenge. They've got the front cover of the Domain, Scotty. So that's sort of a portent to win, perhaps, because other teams have won that in the past. If you get the magazine, you can win. Amazing. They've got one of the top apartments. Not so sure about them winning. You've got Bianca and Carla. They've got a beautiful penthouse apartment as well, overlooking the sea and the city. Amazing. But will they win? You can't get rid of them either, because last time I was there, they were well and truly kicked out of the apartment, but they were still living there. That could be interesting.
Yep.
You might get them when you get the auction. Courtney and Houses is great, but I think Kerry and Spencer's for me is the one to go for.
Really?
I walked in and I went, I could live here straight away.
Yeah, well, there's a little bit of mail. You know, they've got a few interested parties. In fact, everybody's got interested parties there to go through their auction today. And it's a roll of the dice, really. We don't know how it's ever going to turn out. It's our most important show of the year.
Yeah.
And we've got no control over it at all. We just turn up on the day to being today and just kick it off and see how we go. We're all nervous. We're all feeling a bit sick.
Hey, Scotty, there was a fair bit of spice in this series too, it's fair to say. Hayden and Sarah gave you some sort of headaches early or throughout the whole series. Did it feel like it was one of the more heated or spicy series for you?
Look, they all liked each other a fair bit, but, you know, Hayden and Sarah did it their own way. She's just behind me getting her makeup done, so I don't really want to talk too loudly about the contestant. I'm in the challenge apartment right now. And everybody's getting their makeup done except me, because I don't wear makeup. But anyway, it's another story.
And Scotty, this time in this series, for the first time ever, we can have some viewers win an apartment. That all the contestants got together, did a couple of rooms each, and they've got a beautiful sixth apartment that they can win by just purchasing the Monopoly, the Block Special Edition Monopoly game, and they can win an apartment. How good is that?
Yeah, I'm standing in that challenge apartment right now. It's magnificent, 260 square metres. You buy Block Monopoly, you register the gold ticket that's inside. They've all got one. And then I think, I'm not sure when, but it's right up until Christmas you can buy them, buy the Block Monopoly. But I'll tell you what, it's limited. The stock is limited. There was only a certain amount made. And they're selling extremely fast. And they're running out. So there won't be many left by Christmas. So if you want to have a go, get into it now.
So if you need to buy a Christmas present, that is an absolute one there, the Monopoly, the Block Special Edition Monopoly. But do you keep the gold voucher for yourself, Rosie, and fill it in? Or do you let the people that you give the actual game to...
I'll keep it for yourself.
Keep it for yourself?
Yeah, they can play the game, you can win the apartment.
Yeah, exactly right, absolutely.
And you've got the Oslo. When will that be starting to be renoed?
Not till next year, but we'll probably do a little bit of prelim work leading up to that, but... Yeah, that's going to be an exciting project for us as well. It's big. It's probably bigger than the Gatwick, and there's a lot of work to be done there too.
And that's on Grey Street, Jay Clark, based in St Kilda as well. Very interesting part of the neighbourhood.
Scotty, before we let you go, mate, who's got their nose in front? Can you give us a tip? Have you got a personal favourite?
I love them all equally, like my children, you know that. Same answer I give every bloody year.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we can't wait to watch, of course. It's 7 o'clock on Channel 9 tomorrow night. Scotty, Cam and all the crew, it should be a sensational show. Thanks so much for joining us. Scotty, we'll be watching, mate, and we appreciate your time on the Dead Set Legends this morning.
See you, guys.
Scotty Cam, he's got all the skills that you and I we don't have, really, it's fair to say.
He's the type of person you want as your next-door neighbour.
You do.
Especially you and I. Whenever you just need something done. Imagine having Scotty Cam next door. But he's been doing 13 seasons of The Block. He's a star. He's terrific. And he's been very generous with his time for our show this year.
He has been a star. What blog will be up and firing too, Rosie?
Yes, it will. St Kilda Block Watch. And you can catch up. So if you haven't seen any of the episodes, you can see my take on that.
And you think Kerry and Spence will get the most
brilliant apartment.
After reserve. Okay, we'll mark that one down and we'll follow up next week.
What about you, Jay?
I think it'll end up being Courtney and Hans. Yep. I like their apartment.
Well, I'm going to go Bianca and Carlo. It is Jay Clark and Liam Montagnier with you on Winks Day. Yes, it's Cox Plate Day, but we call it Winks Day. The big race, of course, coming up. What time, Joey? 5 o'clock? Just before 4:40, thereabouts. We're going to get to your Winks bombshell in about half an hour's time. I'm going to have to be listening to believe what Joey's punning strategy around Winks is. But I want to talk some footy right now, Joey,
yep,
because there's been a lot of talk, a lot of hype about the Magpies. Dane Beams, the former Brisbane captain, comes across to the Magpies, rejoins his old teammates. And the discussion around whether now this Collingwood midfield is the greatest of all time. John Anderson from the Herald Sun has given him that label already. Do you think?
Has he really?
Yeah, he said this Magpie midfield is up there as one of the best.
Well,
how do you think it stacks
tell you
up?
What, lucky I've already got to give me a spell, because I'd give me a spell John Anderson.
Pendlebury, Beams, Sidebottom,
terrific,
Adams,
terrific
Treloar.
Midfield. Terrific midfield. You just, he's thrown out the best of all time.
Up there?
How many Brownlow medalists in their midfield?
Well, Pendlebury's come close.
How many? Has he come top three?
I think he was equal four.
Equal. So they don't even have a player in their midfield that's come top three in a... Oh, sorry, Steele Sidebottom is now a top three,
yes,
in the Brownlow medal,
yep,
after his terrific... No, it's a terrific midfield, but to go one of the best of all time, you've either got to win a premiership with that group first,
yep,
to give it some solidity about it, or at least have some blokes that have won a Brownlow medal, or have it... You know, we're looking at Geelong that have got two Brownlow medalists,
yep,
multiple Brownlow medalists in Abel. The West Coast Eagles midfield of the days of Judd.
Yep.
Kirk, Cousins, yeah. Dean Cox, that's very hard to beat. Embley.
Lions.
Norm Smith medalist. Brisbane Lions, premiership. Yeah, oh, look, it's a bit off. But they have a terrific midfield. We know adding Dane Beams to an already awesome midfield is going to make them, no doubt, they're going to be a top four team again
you
next
know,
year.
What is really interesting for me in this the Collingwood calculation is Daniel Wells' role, because I still think he is one of the best ball users, the best kicks of the Sharon, other than you, of course, Joey, in the AFL. He is that good, but I reckon he has to have the off-season of his life, because there's always been a little bit of an asterisk on Daniel Wells. Is he prepared to work hard enough? Yes, we know he's skillful. Where does he fit in this Collingwood midfield?
You know,
Joey?
What? If I was a Collingwood fan, don't even worry about Daniel Wells. Well, this whole talk of if he has a great preseason, if he plays this amount of games, let's move on from Daniel Wells. I don't think he's in Collingwood's best team.
You don't rate him?
No, he's been a star. I don't think he's needed now at Collingwood. You might get 10 games out of him. You can't rely on his body. Where does he play? We've spoken about their midfield. I think, and we touched on this the other week, Pendlebury now goes and probably plays across half back, because he'll maybe get moved out of the midfield, because allow the Taylor Adams and Treloar and Beams and young Sire, who I think is going to be a star,
yep,
as well. So where does Wells fit in? You think half forward. Well, hang on. Hoskin, Elliott, Stevenson, DeGoey and Josh Thomas all did a pretty good job for Collingwood this year.
Wells is ahead of Josh Thomas when he's fit, isn't he?
Guys, as Josh Thomas nearly kicked 40 goals.
So you're saying you don't think Wells is not a lock?
Has Wells kicked 40 goals in a year? Josh Thomas had a very... I'm just saying, why mix the dynamic? I just think, don't even... If Daniel Wells can get up and, like you said, get to his best...
You're unsure.
Maybe if he gets to his best,
yep,
of course he's good enough to be in the team, but
yep,
I wouldn't count on it. I wouldn't rely on it. I wouldn't be penciling Daniel Wells into Collingwood's best team. I would be looking at that as an added bonus if his body's right, but I'm just not sure. You can't keep saying for year on year, if Daniel Wells plays 22 games, if Daniel Wells does this, Collingwood don't need him. They're good enough without,
ooh,
him now. So they've got a good enough midfield. They've shown with their forward line they can do without Daniel Wells.
He certainly needs to get fit. What do you think about Nathan Buckley having 3 months off over summer? I think we're going to see him back after Christmas. Now, your old mate Ross the Boss Line, he never left the joint. He was at work from 6 a.m. till 8 p.m. winter, summer, rain, hail, shine. He didn't leave the football club. Bucks is off on a family holiday.
3 months, isn't he, in,
yep,
Italy?
Yep.
Living in Italy.
What
with
do you
his
think
family?
About
I
that?
Think it's great. Why,
yep,
not? I know what will happen, though. In hindsight, we'll see if it's a good call, because you guys, the journalists, if Collingwood lose a few games early in the season, Bucks should have been at pre-season. If Collingwood have another terrific year,
yep,
everyone will be saying the new thing for coaches. This is what they all should do. But there is a lot. Over the pre-season, to be fair, the senior coaches don't have a lot of influence. A lot of it is left to the assistant coaches to run the training drills and the structures. And a lot of it is obviously the high-performance managers with the training programs and the weights and the running. So the senior coach coach doesn't have a huge role over preseason anyway, and I like Bucks being able to delegate to his assistants.
Where have you got him in your top eight for 2000 and
probably fourth at this stage, without having going deep into my 2019 ladder.
Yep.
I've probably got two or three teams ahead of them, I think, but the Collingwood, no doubt, will be thereabouts again.
And have you begun your prep work, your proper commentary prep work for the AFLW yet?
AFLW draft was on the other day, and starting to do a bit of homework, bit of the VFLW. I'll look at some results at that as well, but looking forward to another AFLW season. They're getting a pay rise, rightly so, when the fixtures came out the other day. So that's going to be another big season, 2019.
Now, Joey, we are very lucky to have the Melbourne Stars BBL coach, Stephen Fleming, on the line. Good morning to you, Stephen.
Hello, boys.
We're very lucky to talk to you today, mate, because is it your daughter's birthday? You've got a big party planned for your daughter, taking some time out. How are the party preparations, mate? It's a big day.
Not too bad. The 7-year-old overloaded with sugar is a good challenge. So I'm pleased to be talking to you boys, to be honest.
Oh, it'll be a big day for you, mate. Hey, a big BBL season is just around the corner. And as always, we have high hopes for the Stars there. Our boys this year, of course. How is the squad shaped up, mate? Because I look at it and you've got some absolute firepower. You've got Glenn Maxwell, of course, Maddison. Stoinis is one of the biggest hitters in the competition, and some wildly spinners. Adam Zampa, of course, Michael Beer. You got a good mix there, Stephen.
Yeah, not too bad, mate. We got a little bit beaten up last year, which was sort of hit us a little bit by surprise, given that the side was pretty much unchanged. So we've had to look at the way we play. And we've got that power. We've got some wonderful players within, but we felt had to be a bit smarter with the way we recruited. So this year, we're really looking at that spinner, league spinner, has been a big part of international T20, so we're trying to embrace that with Adam Zampa, of course, a local hero, but two overseas, one from Nepal, actually, Sandeep Lamachane from Nepal, young guy, which is quite exciting, and Matt Parkinson from England. So we have had to make some change, but you do when you get, when you have a a pretty bad season last year, so we're really looking forward to it. Probably playing a different style of cricket to what Stars fans have seen in the future. But, mate, to be honest, we've got to get across the line. We've been consistent, but we haven't won the flag, so we'd be dead set keen on doing that.
What do you mean different style? What's going to change, Stephen?
Well, a little bit more spin. Spin has been very dominant in all parts of the world for the T20. The league spinners, Rashid Khan, who plays for the Strikers, is the best spin bowler in T20, and there's about four or five of them in the top 10. So we're looking to embrace that. We've got a big ground at the MCG. We've got five home games at the MCG. And rather than be a complete side, we're just developing a different style. So with Michael Beer and the spinners, and then we've got some wonderful players of spin. Maddison's a good addition this year. Trying to get a bit more of a definition about the style we want to play, rather than just be the all-out side with a team full of stars. We'd rather be a star team.
We're chatting to Melbourne Stars coach Stephen Fleming. Now, you speak about the leg spinners, and you touched on him, the secret weapon,
yes,
the Nepalese leg spin bowler, Sandeep Lamachane.
I'm intrigued.
Where did you find him? Who recruited him? Tell us a little bit more about this, the secret weapon that is going to get the Stars a title for the first time in BBL.
Well, there's something going on over there in those Himalayas and around that area. Afghanistan are also producing some amazing wrist spinners. So this young man burst off the scene probably about 18 months ago. He has played a little bit of grade cricket at Sydney and done a lot of work with Michael Clark. So he came off the radar for me, the Delhi Daredevils last year. He played a couple of games under Ricky Ponting. So he's had some great tutelage, and the reports on him and watching him is that he's dynamic, and that's certainly what we want in T20 cricket. We had the services of Peterson and Luke Wright, which were fantastic, but we just need to, I guess, beef up that your spin stocks and embrace what's going on. The trends of cricket suggest that leg spinners playing a big part. So we've just embraced that. And along with Adam Zampa, we've all had 2/3 very good spinners.
We've got 2 family passes to give away, so listeners, tune in or stick with us. We're going to give them away in just a minute's time, Stephen. Before we let you go, I want to ask you about Glenn Maxwell. Snubbed, didn't make the Australian Test team, and Joey, we both thought that he was a big chance, and the batting did fail a little bit. How is Maxie going? Was he upset that he missed out, and how is his mindset at the moment? You've obviously spent a fair bit of time with him recently.
Yeah, I think he's disappointed just around opportunity. You can never control if you're going to get selected, but the whole denying an opportunity through that Pakistan or the NBA series, I think it was a little bit baffling. And then for him to miss out without really firing a shot was, I think, what he was disappointed with. He's had some ups and downs around selection and deals with it pretty well these days. But that one, reading his comments and talking to him was a little bit hard to fathom. So, look, we know how good a player he is. It's always going to be a challenge when you've got a little bit of a tag or a stigma around the way you play or change. So he's just got to work hard to keep changing that. He's a cricket snuff, really. He absolutely loves the game and he deserves to be to represent at the highest levels. But he's just got to do the work, and the people that are selecting him just have to give him a clear message. So that's something to look forward to all throughout the season, to see his progress yet again.
Well, we want to see him shine, don't we, Glenn Maxwell, because he is a talented player. Stephen, mate, good luck with the party, firstly, today, and all the best for the massive BBL summer ahead. We'll be all about the Melbourne Stars this season. Thanks for joining us. That is Stephen Fleming, the coach of the Melbourne Stars. Joey?
And all the best to Peter Hanscom, is the Melbourne Star squad. He's going to be officially part of the family in the new year. He's marrying my cousin, so that's all going to happen in the new year. So it's very exciting to have a test cricketer part of the family. Yeah. I just dropped down the ranks a bit further. Now Peter Hanscom's now the golden one in the family, but that's okay. I'm used to that.
The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Yeah, Saturday Scoreboard time, Jay-Z. Plenty of sport happening around the world, particularly in America this time of year. It's a great time to be in the States. The World Series of Baseball is on at the moment. The Boston Red Sox and the LA Dodgers, two famous teams going at it. The Boston Red Sox lead that series 2-0. Game 3 is on this morning. 84% of the time, teams that are 2-0 up go on to win the World Series. So
they're
it looks
home,
like the Boston Red Sox are home. They last won it in 2013. The LA Dodgers, they look like they're going to have back-to-back World Series losses because they lost to the Houston Astros last year, and they're going to lose again. Oh, you wouldn't want to lose grand finals two years in a row. Oh, the poor LA, Dodgers fans. That won't linger with you for too long, boys. Anyway, the NFL, there was some action on Thursday Night Football. Yep. The Houston Texans defeated the Miami Dolphins 42-23. The Texans, Nick Riewoldt's man, who will get back on the show probably next week to chat a bit of sport. They lost their first three games, the Houston Texans. They've won their last five with Deshaun Watson, their quarterback, hitting some form. So they're going really well. T20, Australia played again overnight against Pakistan, who are world number one for T20, the Pakistanis, we might add. But we did lose by 11 runs again.
Yep.
Not much of a display from the batting. We only made about 130 runs. But Glenn Maxwell, we just heard from Stephen Fleming, and you thought there were a couple of interesting comments there from Stephen Fleming, but Maxwell made 52, top scored for Australia.
I thought he was very strong. He sort of said that the decision not to pick him in the Test series was baffling, and that there was some inconsistency in the selection messaging, or, you know, that's a shot at the coaching. So I thought that was very strong comments from Stephen Fleming.
Yeah, absolutely, and also plenty of A-League and NBL happening all weekend. Last night, Adelaide Newcastle in the A-League played in a one-all draw. A little bit of controversy. They thought there should have been a bit of a VAR review that wasn't there. And Melbourne United play the Perth Wildcats today in Perth and then back home Monday night. So plenty of sport happening, plenty to keep on top of. Even though there's no AFL, there's always plenty more.
The other big news in the cricket world, Joey, is this Lloyd Pope, this South Australian leg spinner with the fiery red hair. He can turn it on a door. We haven't had an exciting spinner like that. I mean, there is Nathan Lyon, who's the GOAT, but this guy is a revelation, Joey. He's a young man dominating in the under-19 international scene, and he could be playing Test cricket for Australia, a la Warner Mark II, Joey, in a year or two time. And I couldn't be more excited about
him. No, I think we all are excited about getting these young talents out of really nowhere and playing. If you remember back, remember Ricky Ponting coming into the side as a 17-year-old kid from Tassie, Pat Cummings coming onto the scene as a young 19-year-old firebrand. I think we want to see that now, don't we?
Yep.
Especially where Australian cricket's at the moment with a bit of a transition going on. Play some of these young kids, get them in, give them some exposure and see if we can build that next dynasty of a great team like we had in the early 2000s.
The other one, Will Pekowski, made two huge Sheffield Shield scores, received strong backing from Steve Waugh, could have been playing Test cricket or might this summer for Australia, out with a mental health issue. We give him our full support at the moment and hopefully he's back at the batting crease very shortly, Joe, because he is a sensational young talent. I want to straighten up for 1 second, Joe, because you've done something very un-Australian. I bet you feel dirty. In fact, I'm in shock. You're backing against Winks today.
Really?
Chase, I'm I'm disappointed because I thought we were tight. We're battling for the humble Australian person out there. We're all on Winks, supporting her quest to dream for four straight Cox plates. And you thinking on, she's going to lose.
No, I don't come think clean. She... No, I do not think she's...
Come clean, Joey.
Okay. Let me explain this situation. First of all, I don't have a spare $100,000 to throw on Winks at $1.20 to make it worthwhile. And you know, there's no point putting $100 on her and winning $20.
But
I had an email from someone, a friend of my dad's who's really, he knows his horse racing. He's a very, very astute punter. And he sent an email a few days ago saying, hey, boys, I've just done the form. I've looked at some, and I think Ben Battle is a chance to beat Winks. Certainly not saying it's going to win, but the way the race might be run, the way Mooney Valley is a bit of an on-pace bias, Ben Battle might be a chance. And at $9, it's just worth a little, just a little bit. And this way for me, it's a win-win. So if Winks wins, I am wrapped. I'm like everyone. I'm like Bruce McAvaney. I'm like Bruce McAvaney wanting Winks to win. But if it happens to get beat and Ben Battle beats it over the line, guess what? I get a little bit of extra pocket money.
Do you know what that'll be, Joey?
What?
Dirty money.
That'll be blood money. That'll be smart money, astute money. So anyway, well, what, it's like looking in the Herald Sun today and we're looking at the tips. Bruce McAvaney and Shane Crawford, your best bet of the day. So they're giving their suggestions for people that don't really gamble much, but this time of year want to have a little flutter.
Yeah, looking
who can
for
I look value. At some value? They tip Winks as their best bet of the day. Come on, Crawford, Bruce, give us a spell, give us something else. So at least I can be like everyone else and go and have a little bit on Winks. But I'm just having a little sneaky bit on Ben Battle. I heard Nick Quinn earlier on the show before ours say that Ben Battle's a chance. You never know.
Well, if you're at the pub later and Ben Battle wins, you'll be the only bloke in Australia cheering Joey. I'm not happy with that at all. Joey, you said you're backing against Winks. You're on Ben Battle, and the phones have lit up. We're getting all sorts of messages. The good people of Melbourne out there, they're not happy with you.
Fair to say I'm copping as much backlash as I did when I thought Collingwood would go out in straight sets in the finals, and I copped a little bit there. I'm now copping it. I don't think Ben Battle will beat Winks, but if Winks happens to get beat, and it is Ben Battle, then I do get a little bit of extra pocket money. But I'm like everyone else. I want to see Winks win a fourth Cox plate. I love seeing history in the making in any sport. I love seeing the all-time greats in action and all those sorts of things. So looking forward to it. You went to Mooney Valley last night, though, didn't you? To the Manicato Stakes, won by Brave Smash, our very own Darren Weir, who we had on the show a couple of weeks ago. Good night last night.
Yeah, it was a great night. We had our mate there.
That's why you look a bit, you just look a bit tired, a bit dusty today.
I haven't put anything in my hair. All my mate Darcy extraordinarily picked the first six winners.
What?
I couldn't believe it. Like, he just could not miss for the first 3 hours. So we just sort of started following him mid-hot streak, and it was a good night, Joey.
Happy
so
days.
Yeah, we had a good time. Hey, just quickly on the footy front, you notice that old mate Graham Allen, footy boss former at Brisbane and Collingwood, helped set up GWS. Now it's St Kilda. Now I would say he's, from an administrative footy department point of view, he's the best street fighter, most street smart recruiter in the AFL. And he's joining your mates down there at Moorabbin. You happy with
that? I think so. Good. Yep. A bit old school, isn't he? Just gets deals done, doesn't he, Gubby?
True.
Allen, that's what he's known for. And I think that's a great, I think he's going to be a bit of an advisor, isn't he? He'll work alongside James Gallagher, who St Kilda have got in as their new list manager. Only new to the game is James Gallagher. So I think it's smart to get someone with a lot of experience like Gubby Allen, can come in, can teach him how things are done, how to land the big fish is probably one of the key things.
They need a big fish.
St Kilda need to land some big fish, and Gubby Allen's the best at it, so I think it's a great recruitment for the club.
They need a Marlon. Of course, when they did get Tom Scully at GWS, he did employ his dad as a recruiter, Roof Tyler. So, you know, there's a bit of that sort of stuff, Joey, which is
whatever it takes. Whatever it takes legally.
Legally,
not whatever it takes.
They need a big name midfielder over the next 12 months, that's for sure. And I just wonder whether Stephen Canelio out of GWS, I just wonder whether he can be hooked, Joey.
Or Lockie Whitfield.
Yes, a big deal.
Or Josh Kelly. Or any of the GWS boys now. Hopefully they've got a good relationship with Gubby Allen and we can get them to St Kilda.
Joey, if the auction goes well today, what do you got planned afterwards? Sort of a nice, you know, Nobu dinner or something like that?
To be honest, I've got nothing planned yet.
Okay.
Maybe we will go out for dinner if it all goes well. But I'm a bit nervous. I know that Scotty Cam touched on it with the block having their auctions today. You do get a bit nervous. I haven't had this sort of anxiety in the morning since I last played a game of football, probably a grand final. So it is a bit nervy, but fingers crossed that hopefully some people are in generous moods and put their hands up and bid.
I do like the fresh cut you're rocking with, though, today, Joe. It's shorter along the side. It's the new generation.
It's a bit more of a summertime haircut. There's no more TV, so I don't need to be conservative for TV. I'm now on holidays. I'm growing the beard. Cut the hair short. It's that sort of time of year, Rosie.
Oh, I like it. Joey, hey, this week my dad's come down from Brisbane because he's super handy and I'm not, it's fair to say, Joey. So he comes down and helps fix all my stuff.
Hang on. Stop before you keep going. Yep. You get your dad to come down from Brisbane.
Drives just, with all his tools. Yeah, no, what a legend.
Not just to help you do stuff around the house.
Yeah.
Hang on, he drives
from Brisbane. Yeah.
From Brisbane.
Yeah, well, he's got all his tools.
To help you do some handyman work.
Well, he does all of it, really.
You're kidding.
Yeah, so if I post an Instagram thing like, how good's a cubby house? You know, that's because he's pretty much well put it together.
And he drives down from Brisbane to help you do that?
He drives down.
Oh, I felt bad when I asked one of my friends drive from like the other side of town. Oh, Jay.
He's come down from two states away.
Okay, that's another story. In itself.
So our main challenge this week, so he comes down once a year.
Main challenge is that you're his son.
Hey, father-in-law, I need some help. Do you mind just driving down from Brisbane to come and fix this for me?
He is my dad. He's my real dad.
Anyway, oh, sorry, your dad. I thought you said your father-in-law. Sorry.
It's all good. So we're putting in a below-ground trampoline. $800, mind you. Turn the radio down. Wife and my listening. Kids listening. Anyway, so it's a 7-foot by 10-foot hole that you got to dig in my backyard. So my dad are out there. We mark out the spot. It's next to this little entertaining paving area. This is the spot. Yep. So took us a full day on the shovel, both of us. I'm not the shoveling type, clearly, Joey. But, you know, and we dug this massive hole. At the end, it's sort of like that scene out of Shawshank Redemption. You know, they're on top of the roof, you know, 3 beers per man. Everyone's very satisfied. My dad and I are just sort of looking at this hole like we're absolute champion diggers. Anyway, wife comes in from outside and she's just gone quiet, which is never a good sign, Joey. You sort of want immediate endorsement at that point. Well, what a great hole. You guys have done such good job. Well, this trampoline's going to be great, but she's given us the silence. And my antenna went up at that point. I thought, I'm in big strife here. She's like, it's in the wrong spot. You've dug the hole in the wrong spot. 7-foot by 10-foot hole in the wrong spot. So she said it was a bit too close to the paving area.
Was she not there at any stage throughout the day to maybe mention it when you'd sort of half started digging or when you just started?
Wait until
the end of the day to come out and have a look.
We discussed this for weeks and it's always sort of been in that corner of the yard. She's like, no, there's got to be a meter buffer zone between the entertaining area and the trampoline. So we had 2 days. I'm like, no way are we digging this hole again or moving it or anything like that. That's the spot for it. But we had 2 days of peace talks, it's fair to say.
Yep.
And by Thursday morning, guess who was back on the shovel? Me. It took me half a day to re-dig another meter of the hole to push it away from the adult entertaining area. So I was a bit filthy. I was a bit less careful. And I had to dig. I spent another half a day back on the bloody shovel digging a new hole. So
safety,
anyway.
If it's safety, you just got to get it done. Was it safety reasons for being too close to the entertaining area?
She wanted a buffer zone between the adults and the kids. She basically wanted the kids further away from where we're at, which is not a great sign. We love our children, all three of them. It's fair to say, Joey. But look, I was a bit filthy, but it's all good now. The trampoline's in the right spot. It just took us.
Is it going to have the trampoline? It's got the net so that the kids can't fly off the trampoline? No net. So that's why she didn't want it too close to the entertaining area. One of your kids will try a backflip and end up on the
high kicker out of her hand.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest. So how good was the trampoline?
Yeah, trampolines, you can have that much fun on them for hours.
Yep. Yeah, $800, so probably a little bit steep. And we got with it a free seesaw, and they've spent more time on the free seesaw. It's been a little bit shattering. Joey, it is a massive day in Australian racing, of course, with Winx aiming for her fourth Cox Plate, an unbelievable achievement. And with us now to talk about it is Abby Jelmy from Channel 7, a big star of Australian television. Good morning to you, Abby.
Wonderful. Welcome. Thank you, guys. How exciting. Fourth Cox Plate. I mean, we're all getting a bit ahead of ourselves, but I think we're entitled to when the champion mare's going around.
She's an absolute star. Have you been down at track work this morning? Tell us about the excitement, the build-up down at Moonee Valley all week.
Well, I think it's just been, it's one of those races that really captures the attention of the nation. And I think particularly it's going to be something that no horse has ever achieved. So there's certainly been a lot of attention and there's always so much attention on this champion mare. But apparently, according to Chris Waller, put out a statement on Instagram, as they do now, these trainers, they're very up to date, saying that, you know, she's had her feed, she's trained well, had a wonderful gallop, a bit of a canter around this morning, so she's ready and firing. And they always say that she looks beautiful and she looks like she's ready to go, and it seems like today's no different.
I love that. We get an hour-by-hour update now on how Winx is prepared, what she's eaten, what her pre-game routine is, or the pre-race routine.
What's her favourite colour?
Yeah.
Online, apparently.
Absolutely. And Abby, at Moonee Valley, we know it's not the total glitz and glamour of the Flemington Spring Carnival, but a little...
Hey, Joey.
Moonee Valley. I'm just getting to that. The mini carnival. It is. But the mini carnival in itself, last night at Moonee Valley, and then again today, it has its own sort of little special place, and the Cox Plate is the central piece of that. But it must be nice momentum around the Moonee Valley with last night's Manikato Stakes and today with the Cox Plate, Abby.
It's a bit of a punter's dream, isn't it? Sit at home or go to the track on a Friday night, have a bit of a dabble, and then also run into the day, which makes it fun. And it's nice to have a short thing. I mean, granted that Winx is $1.20, so I don't know if there's many people will be taking that market, but it certainly is. It's a wonderful way to get people involved in spring. And, of course, it's certainly amping up towards Cup Week coming up next week as well. So, yeah, it's so much fun, to be honest.
I like that. Abby said $1.20, not many people would back it. You're right, Jay, and that is right. But we looked in the Herald Sun, didn't we? And we touched on it earlier in the show. Shane Crawford and Bruce McAvaney, they're in the newspaper, the Herald Sun, to give their big tips for the people. And they've gone, our best bet of the day, Winx. Like, oh, thanks, guys.
Give me a spot.
Well, actually, fun fact with Brucey, there's actually a market that you can take, and I don't know with whom, but you can bet on whether or not he's going to cry. We don't know if that's because he cries because she wins or she loses or what, but as we know, almost having a camera back on Brucey has been a highlight in itself. So there you go. There's a market for everything today.
And that has become...
I think you can even get a market on what colour shoes the stable hand's going to wear that's going to be leading her around the parade rink. This is how extreme people are watching this horse. It's unbelievable.
That has become part of it now with the Winx story, Jay. It's watching Bruce McAvaney, watching the race live afterwards. That's what everyone looks forward to now. People are waiting to see Bruce McAvaney watch the race after Winx wins to see what sort of reaction he gets, because it's he gets right into it, Bruce.
Now, Abby, our friend Joey here has got a bit of a confession, because he's actually betting against Winx today, which is a little bit un-Australian. Who do you like again, Joey?
A little bit un-Australian.
Yep.
Like, just handing your citizenship, surely.
There's a theory behind this, because I don't mind having a little bit of a punt every now and then, and it's a win-win. I obviously want to see Winx win, and if Winx wins, I'm like everyone else. I'll be as happy as Larry. But if Winx, for some reason, happens to get beaten, I get a nice little collect in the pocket.
You'll be the only bloke in Australia cheering.
I enjoy a punt, but I also enjoy winning. So you don't bet a bit against the champ.
No, I'm a bit more. I'm win-win today, Abby. I watch Ben Battle either get beaten by Winx and I'm happy, or if Ben Battle has the lead too much in front, Winx can't catch up and get there, then I'm happy as well, because I get a bit of extra money in the pocket.
Abby, before
it's unbelievable. Her sectionals from last week would indicate that you could be 100 metres ahead and it just wouldn't matter. She's unbelievable.
Yes, I like it. Abby, who do you think will finish second today? Who do you think is the best chance to push Winx?
Oh, I mean, I'm going to go Humidor. I know that Ben Battle's obviously the shorter odds favourite, and especially in the Winx out market, which has become so popular. But I think that there's something about Humidor that always seems to push her. And, you know, I've got a bit of a soft spot for him, so that would be mine.
Before we let you go, Abby, you are now the face of Channel 7. You've come to the stable there, and you're the star of the racing carnival, but you're also going to be part of the summer of cricket. I believe it must be exciting for you now being a part of Channel 7.
Oh, it's so enormous. I grew up playing cricket, and the fact that now I can do it as a job is a little bit unbelievable to talk about it, but no, it's super exciting. It's going to be an enormous summer. We've already launched it with the girls' international T20, which is great, and I'll be doing a fair bit of the Big Bash in WBBL. So, yeah, enormous. It's going to be a very fun spring, but even a funner summer, I think. So I'm looking forward to it.
What were you like in the backyard, in the cricket stakes, Abby? Were you tear away quick? Were you sort of a dashing all-rounder? How'd you go?
I was an all-rounder because I was all-round terrible, but I wanted to be involved, essentially. So I just kind of, I always put myself in, I just had a go. And I actually played club cricket, so I was that girl when I was 11 and 12.
Oh, well,
but it was, I just loved the game. So, yeah. But no good. Please don't ever get me in a situation with a battle ball, because I'm woeful.
We need a Triple M backyard game here, Rabsy. Hey, Abby, thanks so much for joining us this morning on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Doing a great job for Channel 7, of course, with the Spring Racing Carnival. Hope you have an absolutely magnificent day cheering on Winx today at Moonee Valley.
Really appreciate it, gents. Go Winx.
Joey, I tried to give you a little bit of a curly one before. Who do you think will be the most successful, most impactful trade? Will it be Hawthorn securing Chad Wingard for Ryan Burton, a first-round pick and a second-round pick? Or do you think it'll be Essendon securing former GWS midfielder Dylan Scheel on Bourget for two first-round picks? Which do you think is the better, more successful trade?
Yeah, for mine, I think no doubt it'll be the Bombers. I think this tops them off beautifully with their list profile now to have a real crack at winning a flag. So that I think they should definitely be a top four team next year if all things go equal.
There's no excuses then, Joey.
There's no excuse. No, they've got everything, right? They've got expectation. There is now expectation and pressure on Essendon heading into 2019 if they get a good run with injuries. We know about Joe Danaher and Fantasia missed a bit of footy. And so if they can have a full healthy list, I love their list profile. Scheel is that midfielder that can burst out of stoppages, good size.
Bit of a query on his kicking.
Yeah, it is. No doubt his kicking, he can tidy up his efficiency. He's not the most elite kick in the competition, but his style of play to burst out of stoppages, his breakaway power and speed, I think he's a very, very, very good addition to that Essendon football
What's
team.
The pass mark for the Bombers in next year?
Oh, they definitely have to win a final, at least, because they haven't won a final. How long since they've won a final?
2003.
Yeah. So, look, it is very hard to go from not winning a final to winning a premiership. We understand that. You've got to have that experience in the finals. So maybe they're 1 year away, but I think they should be knocking on the door of a top four spot, no doubt.
What about Daniel Menzel? This has staggered a lot of footy fans. The guy's kicked a lot of goals when he's been on the park. I mean, I think his first four or five games of last season, he was right up there in the Coleman.
15 goals in the first five games.
He was on fire.
Yeah, he was.
One, he's a talented goal kicker, but he's got deficiencies in his game, and clubs now can get him for nothing as a delisted free agent. Yeah. You should be looking at him.
Yeah, look, I think, first of all, Geelong understand their situation. They're one of the worst forward half pressure teams in the competition. So no doubt they made a decision that we're going to address that, and we're going to go and get Luke Dalhouse, who we know is a really high pressure player. Gary Rowan's got the leg speed to apply a lot of pressure in the forward half, and we're going to change the way we play. So they've let Daniel Menzel go, who we know is one of the worst pressure players in the front half in the competition.
He has had four knee recos.
He has, and he's a goal kicker though. So I think another team should pick him up because he can kick 40 goals if he plays a full season, no worries. And you need players that can kick the ball through the goals in your team. Not everyone has to apply the pressure. So I've got three clubs that I think he's a perfect fit. I think Brisbane Lions need just a goal kicker in their forward half. They've got a lot of young talent. Their forwards, McStain, Hipwood, are still inexperienced. Rayner's coming along, Charlie Cameron, but they don't have a natural goal kicker who can just kick two or three goals every week and be reliable. So I'd be looking at him. They now are in a situation, Brisbane, they've got their young talent. They've gone and got Lachie Neale. They've gone Marcus Adams. They're starting to handpick specific players for their team to rise up the ladder. I think a specific target they need is a goal kicker. Sydney Swans are probably a little bit of a similar boat. This one, maybe not so sure, but I think they just need someone besides Buddy Franklin who can kick goals.
Yep.
Just kick the ball through the sticks. They've got some good players. Haywood and Papley.
Ronk.
Ronk are all very good pressure. They're all very good young players as well. Maybe someone like Sydney could take Daniel Menzel. And the other club who I think will have a sharp improver next season.
They better be.
Got a really good young list. And again, have got a lot of good high-pressure players, class players, but they need some goal-scoring power, and that's the Western Bulldogs.
Yep.
I think they just need a player that can kick 40 goals. I think the last 2 years, their highest goal kicker, I mean, Billy Gow was like kicking mid-20s for goals. So they just need someone that can kick 40 goals, leave the pressure. I mean, he's got to improve that side of his game, no doubt, but he's never going to be a high-pressure player. But leave that to the other small forwards in that side and let him stay inside 50 and kick two or three goals a week.
Menzel and Kennell, they definitely need some more offensive potency. Yeah. They rely so much on Gowers and Bont and Pally. What's a pass mark for the Western Bulldogs? Miss the finals 2 years in a row, extraordinarily coming off that stunning premiership. What if they miss again?
They should be knocking on the door of the eight. They should be aiming, really trying to play. I think they should be a top eight team next year with their list profile.
What if they're not? Does the coach feel the heat or?
A little, yeah, maybe. Maybe. It depends on how far away they are from the eight. But no doubt, I think their list is better than we're giving them credit for. All their superstars are, you know, McRae, Bontempelli, Toby McLean, Jack McRae. They're all still 23, 22, 24 years old. They've got a lot of upside. So I want to see some sharp improvement from the Dogs.
Big news during the week. Unfortunate news, embarrassing news, Joey, when a video emerged of Shane Mumford, former Premiership Ruckman, sniffing a white substance. Mumford has come out and said in his statement, or the club has said, that he's very embarrassed and deeply remorseful about this. It happened about 3 years ago. He wants to play next season and be the number one Ruckman for GWS. Do you think his comeback plans are in turmoil, in jeopardy, or would you still have him on your list?
Oh, I think if GWS have committed to him, and it sort of feels like they have with getting rid of Lobb, not getting another ruckman in the door. We know he's still pretty fit because of his boxing that's taking place.
Would
I think
put
they'll
you
still.
Off?
Well, it may give you a little bit of doubts, but it depends. They know the man better than anyone. He's been working at the club. I still think they'll take Shane Mumford, have him on their list. They'll have Dawson Simpson and Mumford as their two big ruckmen. It's probably worth taking the risk and still picking him up.
Yeah, okay. As soon as I mentioned the Give Me a Spell, I just saw a bit of steam come out of your ears. You're angry about something and you're fuming. I just want you to maybe try and calm down for a second. I'll start off and then you go.
Right.
I see that you are furious. I want to Give Me a Spell. Horror movies. Now, I'm sick of people saying
Rosie loves horror movies.
These are somewhat enjoyable, Rosie, and I'm looking at you here because there's no way that sitting in a movie and looking at people sort of, you know, doing nasty things to each other can be in any way, shape, or form
it's
enjoyable.
Fantastic.
The tension and the angst and the horror and the gore, you people are all sickos, Rosie.
What did you watch?
Because, well, I haven't watched...
What's hurt you?
I have not watched a horror movie since Nightmare on Elm Street and I think Child's Play, which is sort of pseudo comedies, okay. Let's be honest. But I see that with Halloween coming up, there's all these horror movies being released, all this scary stuff. Give me a spell. It's not enjoyable, Joe. You just sit there and feel sick and scared about stuff.
I like that. I like horror movies.
You're one of these sickos.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, give me a spell. Yeah, both of you, aww, Rosie. What's your favourite? What's your favourite horror movie?
Oh, on the spot. Yeah. I can't. I'm looking forward to seeing the new Halloween, I must admit.
Right, yeah. It's good. I couldn't think of anything worse. Rather poke my eyes out with a fork. Here you go, Joey. God.
Well, my give me a spell has been bugging me since Wednesday, and this really, I've got to get off my, I'm not happy about this. So I was driving home on 4 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, just been down the shops, and in coming into my house, to my street, I turned down a little side street behind my house and then left again on my street to park out the front of the house. As I turned left into my street, just cruising along, I certainly wasn't speeding or anything like that, an undercover cop car turns on the lights, pulls me over. Yeah. So I'm out the front of my house. So get out of the car, and I think, well, this is a bit strange. He goes, you got your license? Yep, no worries. He gave me my license. And then he said, you've been drinking today, sir? I said, no. So I got breathalyzed.
Yep.
So I thought, that's okay. Maybe just a random breath test. No worries. Then he says to me, so how come you didn't stop at the street you just turned into? I said, well, sorry, what do you mean? He goes, you didn't come to a complete stop. It's a stop sign.
Oh, no. Mm.
I said, oh, sorry, officer. I said, I just do this street, you know, five times a day. It's where I live. There's no cars coming. I had to look to my left. And
how slow were you going?
I was just slowly turning left into my street.
Walking pace?
But he said, but I didn't come to a complete stop. At a stop sign, you have to come to a complete stop. Oh, and I thought, fair enough. No, sorry, officer, no worries. My apologies, thinking that would just be a warning.
Yep.
He goes, I'm going to have to issue a ticket.
No.
I said, really?
How much?
And he comes back, didn't want to have a conversation. He didn't want to negotiate and said, look, sorry, sir, I'll make sure. I said, I do this drive five times a day. His actual response was, maybe then five times a day you should stop at the stop sign. Anyway, comes back, $322 and three demerit points for not coming to a complete stop when I turned left into my street.
He hated
it. It wasn't like I went straight through a stop sign and I was like, really?
Yep.
Give me a spell, man. Like, come on. And I know people would say, technically, to the letter of the law.
Were you going snail's pace?
I was just cruising, cruising home into my side street. So that was it. Had the indicator on, and it was just for not coming to a complete stop. So give me a spell, officer. Go and get the hoons out there that are speeding through streets, causing chaos. Not me turning into my side street in Albert Park. That really bugged me. So give me a spell, officer.
Maybe a Collingwood supporter, Joey.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Possibly.
I am a Collingwood supporter. But
there's a lot of people out there that don't like me, so it doesn't surprise me.
Rosie?
I've got a give me a spell from this morning. Went to the South Melbourne Market, bought a Goslemi. Beautiful, nice bit of Turkish flaky pastry and cheese and spinach.
Yep.
Came here to enjoy that with a fork so I could fork my slices of Goslemi into my yogurt sauce.
Yep.
Wow.
Our kitchen's being renovated.
Yep.
Oh. I went up the back to the black kitchen, the production kitchen.
Yep.
Not one fork.
No fork.
Oh, I reckon 37 spoons, 1,800 knives. No. Not one fork.
Like
give me a spell.
Sounds like an Alanis Morissette song.
You know? I'd be more of a hands-on Goslemi man though, Rosie.
I was trying to be ladylike.
Right.
I'd be didn't sort last of long.
Hey, Joey, this is time for our most positive segment of the week.
The Dead Set Legend of the Week.
And a champion becomes a legend.
Yeah, dead set legend this week. Not Winks. We've done Winks. That's a bit cliche. That's a bit cliche. That's a bit, Shane Crawford like doing your best bet of the day as Winks. Dead set legend of the day. That's a bit. It's a bit too straightforward.
Okay.
This one though is to possibly one of the best blokes in Australia, Chris Hemsworth. Oh. So he's on fire. Mm. How's this for a story during the week? He was arrived back in Brisbane and he jumps in the car. The actor Chris Hemsworth, of course, Thor, as he's also known as, jumps in his car from Brisbane to drive down to his house where he lives in Byron Bay, and he spotted an American hitchhiker named Scott Hildebrand, pulls over, asks Scott if he'd like a lift. He said, I'm heading down that way, I'll pick you up. So he got him in the car, but then he actually said to him, not only that, we're catching the chopper down to Byron Bay. So he picked up a hitchhiker, threw him in the chopper and said, come on, let's go down to Byron Bay. Made a joke and he said to the hitchhiker, but you got to help spot for the petrol, for the gas for the chopper. That'll be $4,000, thanks. Just a bit of lighthearted humour from Chris Hemsworth there. So very good. I thought that's giving him a mention. They're picking up a hitchhiker, nice bloke, but got him in the helicopter down to Byron Bay. So what a legend he is, Chris Hemsworth. He's my dead set legend of the week.
Do you reckon the old mate hitchhiker woke up that morning and thought, just want a journey down to Byron Bay? Do you reckon he's getting in a chopper with the Hollywood actor.
I wouldn't have thought he woke up thinking that was a possibility. He probably thought back of a pickup truck or something like that. But no, that's very nice of Chris Hemsworth.
And in breaking news, Joey, is it fair to say you've been poached by the Lawn Bowls community to showcase one of their biggest events of the year?
Yes. Oh,
there's a rumour going around that the Lawn Bowls fraternity have headhunted you for their commentary.
I am going to help out with the Victorian Open. Lawn Bowls coming up in November, late November.
Give us a taste, Joey.
No, I'm not.
Just give us a little.
No, I'm not doing that.
What a bowl. Did you see that come in?
I'm not doing that. But yeah, I'm going to have a crack at
Are you going to watch Cracker Jack for some
inspiration? I'm going to need to watch Cracker Jack for some inspiration. Yeah, we'll see how we go.
wait for that, Joey.
I'm going to finish. I have got a tip of the day. Yep. Now, we know we've spoken to a lot of experts. We spoke to Abby and Nick Quinn and everyone, but we've got to get back on the horse of my tips because we started off so well.
You've cooled.
Then we left it to the experts. Hamish McLaughlin had ego for us.
Yeah,
Jason Richardson, I don't know, he was 50-50. So this week, my tip is in race two today. Yes. It's called Guard of Honour. Race 2, number 4. Each way, Guard of Honour. It will come home. It'll sit behind the leaders. Come home and win. So we're looking forward to watching Guard of Honour. Race 2, number 3. And, of course, watching Winx win. And if it doesn't, hopefully Ben Battle.
You'll be backing a Ben Battle. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next Saturday on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day.
And it was a great week, wasn't it, Joey?
I liked it. I did like my own work this morning.
That was good.
Get even more Joey, Jay-Z and Emma by downloading the Listener app.